Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
From restaurant openings and discounts on bars and hotels to beauty and fashion offers, Sheerlux partners with London's best venues, suppliers and brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. And this month, we're offering new annual sign-ups a free 111 Skin Space Antioxidant Booster worth £85. Or trial VIP and get 2 months free access using the code VIPX2 at checkout. For more information, visit SheerluxVIP.com. Welcome to the Sheerlux Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Korochkov. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff, Hattie Cotmore and Charlotte Collins. Charlotte, you're in the room, but you're not hosting this week.
This feels like such a nice break. I just have to sit here strange. And chat. I love it.
Well, I haven't done it for a while, so we thought it was about time. And we're a bit slim on the ground this week. Everyone seems to be off. Another bank holiday!
What a treat.
I always don't feel that excited about it.
Yeah.
Because it feels like we've just had one already. I'm like still chilling from Easter.
And then we have another one.
Yeah.
It is madness. Who came up with this stupid idea? And why don't we have one in November when we're all knackered? Well, I thought we'd start this week's podcast with a quick shout out to the personal trainer that I've been seeing for the last week, Peter Cobby, who trains models, A-listers. My husband said to me, he said, I don't know how I feel about another man touching my wife. And I was like, if you go onto his Instagram feed, you'll see that I am the least of his worries. And like, I mean, it's quite a view from where Peter is.
Wow.
He trains some serious models. So I didn't realize that when model agencies put models on their books, they then get someone like him to come in and help them tone up. So not lose weight, but just get much more tone. They invest that money in getting somebody to get them really buff to get the good jobs. That was really fascinating. Yeah. Anyway, I've been doing this 10-day body boot camp. So he does classes in kind of Notting Hill and Covent Garden and St John's Wood and stuff. But he also does these programs where he comes to your house every day for 10 days to help you really learn how to tone your body. And he really helps you with your nutrition and those sorts of things. Anyway, it's quite intense. I'm on day 6 now.
Okay.
And, God, my muscles are just...
Is it hurting?
And is it very different to the type of thing that you would normally be doing when you go to the gym?
Well, what's really interesting is that I said I want to tone, I want to sculpt, but you can't do that without weights, can you? And I said I lift sort of 8s with my arms. And he was like, if you train with those kinds of weights, you just get bulk and it looks very different to doing other sculpting movements that tone.
Okay.
And that's more longer lasting and natural looking.
So what kind of thing have you been doing?
It's just the way you do like loads of triceps and the way you do squats and the way you do lunges. And he uses those like slidey coasters.
Oh, yeah.
Which are really hard.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing what you can do with your muscles just with your own body weight and a few accessories.
Yeah.
I do cohorts a lot and they have like different types of classes and specifically a body weight one, which is exactly that, where you don't use anything weighted and it is so much harder than any of the classes that use equipment. Mm.
I always thought that it wasn't about repetition, that it was about weight. And you need to be doing 8 of something, 3 sets of 8, 10, 12 of something, really, really hard, as opposed to 30. And he's like, no, 30 can work. You're just going to get a different result.
And is it the type of thing that you could now pick up without him and
Definitely.
Do that by yourself?
That's the thing I like. Like, for lots of people, you know, the cost of a personal trainer every week, I mean, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's really just teaching me stuff I can just do myself.
Gosh. Are you starting to see a difference already?
Oh my God, 100%.
Really?
Do you take a photo? 100%. I didn't take a photo, but I know my body really well. And I am fit.
Mm.
But I've said before, I'm really into cardio. And over the last few years, I've gotten much better with weights and using my muscles more. But it's amazing. I reckon 5 days, you can see a difference in abs, in arms.
And it's an hour every morning?
It's an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Quite hardcore.
Yeah.
Quite ready for the end.
Yeah.
But it's really good. Anyway, check him out, Peter Cobby. And check out the girls. Whoa. They are seriously hot. If you're not an early riser and you want to avoid an early start, I quite like exercising first thing. But if you're someone who is not appealing for and you find yourself flagging in the evening, I definitely cannot exercise after work. For me, it's first thing or nothing. Then what about a midday workout? We've teamed up with Red Bull to write a feature about the benefits of using your lunch break to keep active and to get fit. From classes to brisk, speedy strolls, we came up with 6 reasons why lunchtime is a good time to exercise. It included things like it will kickstart your endorphins, you'll be more productive as a result, and it's a great way to socialise with your colleagues. Quite like that one. I suggested that one. Quite nice, though, to like, buddy up with a friend at work and go.
Yeah.
You also need someone else to make you do it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Like going in the morning.
I actually think this is such a good idea. I think if you can take a lunch break and you've got enough time to do it, then I think that is such a good idea, because often you don't want to wake up early. You've then got social plans in the evening. And I actually think that's a really nice window to do it. And I think it would curb your 11 a.m. snack habit, because you'd be worried about exercising on snacking. I think it's a really good idea, actually. I might give it a go.
I think it's a really good idea. I used to do it. So I used to work for Coty in Wimbledon, which is a beauty company. And I used to go at lunchtime, and I didn't have a gym near where I lived at that point. I mean, it was a rush. That's the only thing I would say. It was a rush. We do a flexi here, so that if people want to exercise, they can take an extra half an hour at lunch a couple times a week. But if you have to exercise in the evening, you can't get up in the morning. Like, that's like a dead time, isn't it?
I often find it's actually really hard to work exercise into my week.
Yeah.
Weekends is really the only time where I know I'm going to be able to make it. So I think it's really important to sort of give yourself that bit of structure. I think you'd have to do something that maybe wasn't going to be very sweaty, because I think getting changed, having a shower, then going back to work again, I think that would be quite counterproductive.
My concern would be my makeup. It depends where you work.
It's a hassle.
I'm going to do my makeup at 8 and then do it again at 2. But most places don't have cameramen following you around. So
this is true. Well, we get an hour and a half. You've got time for a shower. You only need 30 minimum. You can do some good cardio or weights.
And in the piece, we also say, just go for a walk. You're not breaking a sweat.
Yeah. How many steps you can do if you walk for 45 minutes?
I walk very quickly as well, so it's basically a workout.
Also, put a podcast on. Now that we've got podcasts, so entertaining, put in a podcast and you can walk several miles in 45 minutes.
There are also quite a few of the big fitness studios in London anyway offer 30 minute classes during lunch break as well, so
they
that
do,
is really good
they?
If you work near one of those, then that's great.
And in this piece we listed Milo and the Bull, who we're actually doing something with for VIP, so if you're a VIP, check that out. Onyx London Unit 1 and Band Horse
and K-Box. I don't work for them, I promise, but they do also do 30
minute
I'm sure
they do. And Barry, I'm sure they do it. That is obviously expensive.
They are cheaper than their regular classes because they're only half an hour. Yeah.
And also in the piece, we listed, I think, 3 or 4 workout videos that are sort of 15 minutes or half an hour. So if you've got a park near your office, you can go and do that. I mean, it's showering afterwards. I have to shower after I've worked out. Mm. But anyway, I think, you know, if you needed a bit of ammo, drink a can of Red Bull and you've got lots of energy to have a better workout. Let's talk about sleep. It's timely today. I woke up really early. I was waiting for Peter to arrive. I was lying there thinking, shit, I was not about to sleep. You know, 8 hours sleep would be nice, wouldn't it? But for many of us, it's just a dream. There are, however, a whole host of tech-savvy gadgets and simple solutions that encourage a good night's rest. And we put a list together of our favourite sleep-inducing finds, depending on your own specific sleep dilemma, whether you suffer from tinnitus or jet lag, anxiety, snoring, a bad back, or you just hate mornings. There were some quite expensive gadgety things on here, like the Bose noise masking sleep buds, which are £229. I suppose if you live with a snorer, you'll do anything, won't you? But I use foam ones and I think they are great. On here, for frequent travellers, it talked about the 40 Blinks ultralight and comfortable no pressure eye mask. £9.
I just sleep with the free ones from aeroplanes.
You need a nice silky one.
Yes, so I've got one to recommend, which is available on Amazon. It's called the Jasmine 100% Silk. It says £12, but it's 6. It's got like 2,000 reviews, and it's really good, and they're really comfy and soft. I think treat yourself, Charlotte.
Yeah, maybe I will. £6, splash out.
Yeah. What, with the like stretchy, thin piece of elastic, or the thick bit?
The thick one. And then there's also the Velcro ones as well, like the really old school Velcro ones.
Yes.
Do you not find when you wear an eye mask, it's harder to get up? I need a bit of light.
Mine's always fallen off by the morning.
Oh, really?
It's like down the back of my head, yeah. I must move my head a lot in my sleep because it's never there.
You can still tell the difference between light and dark.
Yeah.
You can, yeah, definitely. But I sleep with one every night. I can't sleep without it.
Oh, I can't sleep without it. Absolutely not.
Like, really?
Not.
So you'd always wear one?
I forgot it once. I had to tie socks around my face.
The night we got engaged, I forgot one. And I was trying to, obviously, it was really hard to get in sleep anyway. I put a pair of knickers on my head. Like, did you not?
I mean, no, but yeah. It's the weight on the eyes.
Yeah.
It's like,
really? It's not the darkness. Yeah. It's just a sensation you're used to. It's like trying to sleep without a duvet.
The only thing is, I'm completely addicted to them. I literally cannot sleep without it. But the great thing is, if you want a little power nap in the day, I mean, I sleep with earplugs and an eye mask, but it makes a nap in the day much easier because it's almost like these cues.
Yes.
Okay.
You're going to go to sleep. Mm. Yeah,
that's so true.
On the subject of weight, they recommend weighted blankets as a way for anxious sleepers. Apparently they're really good.
Yeah, we wrote a feature on that, didn't we?
Yeah.
There was a study that said more than 3/4 of participants using the blanket were calmed by it, while 63% felt less anxious after using it. I quite like a bit of weight on me to get to sleep. My mum's the same.
I can't sleep in summer with just a... I still have to use a duvet in summer.
No,
I can't
do that. Me too.
Or I do a sheet with a dressing gown on top. Dressing gowns give you a really good amount of weight. My husband's like, you look like this sort of old tramp with all these things piled up on top of you. Couldn't sleep the other day and I put a dressing gown on top of me. I was asleep.
What, on top of the duvet?
Yeah.
Weird.
I just needed a bit more weight. I know.
It just wasn't heavy enough.
Wasn't.
Weird.
Anyway, other things were the Philips wake-up lights. So if you hate mornings, they get light gradually. There you go, Hattie. That's what you need.
Yeah, I love the sound of that.
Were foam mats, pillows. Actually, when I was researching for this podcast, I was looking on Amazon at some of the gadgets you can buy for snorers. I mean, oh my God. There are so. Do you know one of the most popular things that you can buy for snorers are something called Sleep Dreams nasal strips?
Yeah, have you heard about those?
My dad used to wear those. He used to snore so loudly. I have to go into the spare room and it was literally like over the corridor and I would still hear him snoring. It was so bad.
Well, on Amazon there's a lot of jargon about, I was like, what do they actually do? And I think it relieves congestion.
Yeah.
Because what is snoring? Just a blocked nose?
Well, no, it can't be.
They can't
it's
be.
It's lying on your back. Apparently you get these pillows. It's all about the position of your head.
Oh, right.
And so these pillows put your head at different angles.
Okay.
Anyway, that stops you snoring. They're called Sleep Dreams with a Z nasal strips, and they had thousands of really positive reviews. Fascinating.
I have to say, I know the Bose headphones that we recommended are really expensive, and they are an investment, but I have the noise cancelling ones, and if you're a nervous flyer or don't sleep well on planes, they are absolutely life changing. They block out any bit of sound to the extent that I can't use them on my commute. You know, I'm like completely unaware of what's going on around me.
I need to get those.
God, I mean, seriously, on a plane, if you've got like a screen and those headphones, you could be anywhere. You could be sitting in your own cabin. Like, it really does block out everything.
Also, can I say, when you're on a plane, the headphones are so shit, you can never hear properly, and it so impacts how good a film is. Yeah. You so need your own, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
I need to get some of those.
They're so good.
They're really expensive, aren't they?
They are expensive. They're about £300, so they're really not cheap, but they are amazing.
My boyfriend has them, and they genuinely cancel out all noise. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
Can you work out in them? Not really.
Then we use them in the gym if you're doing like weights or something, but they're quite big on your head. You couldn't be running.
You couldn't go for a run.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't want to sweat in them.
Yeah, no.
I think.
They're quite smart.
Too much.
Hattie, are you a good sleeper? Do you have any tips or tricks? Gadgets?
I don't use gadgets, but I definitely can't look at my phone about half an hour before I sleep. That's my one tip. Just turn it around, don't look at it, put it on sleep mode, and I need that, otherwise I won't
try. Yeah. Do you suffer from that at all?
I have to turn mine off.
I find it hard to switch off.
Yeah.
Georgina Blasky was saying, phone's downstairs now, I really need to get on board with that.
Yeah. I'm quite a slow sleeper, so it normally takes me like an hour and a half to get to sleep. So if I'm quite awake and my phone is there, then I'll just like start looking at something, and then you get into a really bad cycle. So I have to train my brain to start counting back from 103.
To that hour, are you trying to get yourself to sleep, or are you just lying there thinking? Like, is it like a panicked hour?
A real mixture.
Okay.
So if I've got something that I know I need to get to sleep because I need to get 6 hours sleep,
that's the worst.
And like, then I'm literally counting down. Panicky.
Or if I can take four Puritan, I'm still going to be wide awake.
It's really annoying.
So annoying.
Yeah, if I've got a flight to catch, that's also the worst. So when we were going to
Paris a couple of weeks ago.
And then I was so the next night I was so buzzing from our like 17-hour day, and I didn't sleep that night either.
It's funny how we talk about sleep on this podcast quite a lot, don't we? Like, as human beings, we get so hung up on our sleep. Like, every time I sleep, my mom, sorry if you're listening, but I'm like, how are you? Oh, tired. And had a good night last night. But it's like, you're going to go to bed tonight. Tomorrow's another day. Yeah. I always say that to women who've just had their first baby. I'm like, you will sleep again. You will go to bed tonight. Mm. Just don't think about it and move on and tell
yourself you get that opportunity every day.
Like, dwelling on how much sleep you had is so counterproductive, isn't it?
Yeah. Completely.
And I also, I try to use that same rule when it comes to sleeping. So if I'm lying in bed and I think I can't sleep, it's like, this is so mind over matter. I try to work out how many nights in my life I have gone to sleep with no problems.
Yeah,
thousands. There have been thousands of nights when it's been fine.
And so also then the next day, I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Having only had
You're just a bit tired.
I'm just a little bit tired.
Yeah. And the world's not ending.
The world's ending. So it really doesn't matter. I can perform. So.
And equally, if you are awake, just chill out about it. You're awake. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be all right. You'll get through it.
Yeah.
Just chill out.
Exactly.
That's
but you did really suffer from insomnia.
Yeah.
Is it Pyrrhotron that's really helped that? Yeah. I was trying to realise that you don't
I just got so sick of waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and being awake. I've spoken to a couple of doctors. I had a big medical health check.
An MOT.
I had an MOT where they do, you know, they look at your heart, you do lung tests, you do fitness tests. I did say to the doctor then, I was like, I do take half a Pyrrhotron every night. And she was like, do you know what it is? It's an antihistamine. It's not addictive.
Mm. Yeah.
She's like, if you keep upping it and it's not working, that's not so good. But she was like, that's fine.
You just break it in half.
If I'm having a really bad night and I wake up, or if, sometimes if I'm still awake at sort of one and it hasn't kicked in, I'll get up and have the other half. Mm. Best thing is, I always wake up at like 3 or 4 to go to the loo. And if you've had half a Pyrrhotron, your brain doesn't race. You're just in this sort of
slumber. Trance.
Yeah. So you get up, go to the loo. So that was my problem for quite a long time, is I would get up at 3 or 4 to go to the loo and that's it. I was awake.
Yeah.
I just got sick of having like, for us tonight. I just couldn't do it.
Whenever I have to get up, I always try and like marginally open my eyes. The opening my eyes like fully is my like, right, you're waking up. So I'm like creeping my way to the bathroom, trying to feel my way.
We did a sleep event at the Metropolitan a while ago. Yeah. And we had this amazing sleep expert there who's written all these books. And she said, don't turn the light on. And do, like, shut your eyes. Don't look at the time.
Yeah.
Never look at the time. That's fatal.
Yeah. I have to.
Oh, God.
I have
to
know what time it is.
No,
but that she's like, don't look at the time. She said, act sleepy.
Yeah.
When you go, that will make it easier to get. So I do sometimes. I'm like, I'm sleepwalking.
Just one other thing, and my brother always used to use this when we were younger and we had to share a room on holiday, but this would be really good if you have a partner who likes to listen to podcasts or the radio or something to fall asleep. You can get an under the pillow speaker, which is amazing. So my brother used to listen to, I don't know, Harry Potter or something when we were little on holiday.
What?
So rather than having to sleep with headphones in, which obviously can be really uncomfortable,
Is it called an under the pillow speaker?
I mean, I'm sure if you search it, that's what you'll find. So on
Amazon, it's made specially to go under.
Yeah, it's like a flat disc speaker, which literally just, I mean, they're 20 quid or something. They plug to your phone, and you can only hear it if you're lying on top of the pillow that it's underneath.
Ooh, that's clever.
It's really clever.
Let's talk about dairy. Dairy's a bit like wheat. It's one of those food groups that people often steer clear of. But the right types of dairy can actually play a really important role in your diet. We asked three nutritionists to separate the fact from the fiction. This kind of told me what I know, and actually I need to just man up. I'm someone that's quite a low-fat diet, and I do actually avoid dairy. I don't have a rule, but I don't tuck into loads of dairy. And actually this just reminded me that it's so good for you, and actually eating full fat dairy, it's sort of slow release, isn't it? It's going to fill you up for longer. It's so important to have dairy in your diet.
Yeah, I come from a family of dairy farmers.
Yeah. And you don't eat cheese?
But only because I just don't like cheese. But I drink milk, I eat yogurt, add butter. I just don't like cheese.
Oh, I never knew that fact.
So if I was suddenly on the I won't eat dairy bandwagon, it would be very much poo-pooed in my family. So I really enjoy it. As a vegetarian who doesn't eat cheese, then it is a good source of protein for me. So
really good source of protein. And I don't eat much meat, so I really should. Hattie, you a dairy lover?
I love cheese and could never give it up. But milk, I don't drink that much. I like the plant-based alternatives. I love an almond milk. Rude Health is delicious, all of their plant-based drinks. oat milk, soy, like all of those.
I like those too, but they don't have anything like as much protein in them.
No, they don't.
Have you made that substitution because you just prefer them?
Yeah, it kind of started when I lived in Spain, and I don't think their cow's milk is ever as good as it is here. So I started drinking almond milk instead and have just kind of carried on. Now I prefer it, and I can't imagine.
I think it's so tasty.
Yeah,
I love it.
I love oat milk. That is now my go-to. I just feel with the almond ones, you've got to watch them because so many of them have 2% almond and 98% rubbish, because milk at least is natural, whereas some of these are a load of chemicals.
And filled with sugar.
Exactly.
It is amazing how important dairy is, how beneficial it is. It said in this piece that to get the same amount of calcium as you would from 200 mils of milk, you'd have to eat 680 grams of broccoli.
That's mad.
A kilo of spinach or 63 Brussels sprouts. Mm.
It's also so important for your bone health.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have loads. Like in the piece, it also mentioned having it little and often and about the quality of the dairy that you're having rather than the quantity. Mm. So I think if you can add it to a salad a little bit, to your cereal in the morning, then you know, that's a good way of just kind of upping your intake. But if you're not super keen on it, then you're not overdosing.
I think quality is so important. So like, I won't eat shitty cheese. I won't just eat cheese for the sake of it. I do like the odd baby bell, but if I'm going to eat cheese,
cheddar on a digestive is just such a good thing.
Ooh.
What do you mean? Ooh, have you never had that?
Never even heard of the idea.
What's wrong with people?
Fascinating.
It's delicious. Try it.
I will try it. But anyway, yeah, I think go for good quality. Like, I love like going to the butcher and getting nice cheese and doing it properly.
My Mother's Day present was a block of cheese. It was a massage as well and something else, but it was Conte.
Lovely.
From Borough Market.
Oh, that's so nuts. That's my dream gift.
I mean, Conte is like, my God, the best ever, with a bit of truffle honey.
Sensational.
Insane. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a big cheese person, and it is a bit of a vanity thing. I would never have a burrata. And actually, I'd quite often order like a salad without feta. I'm really going to change my ways now. And actually, something like feta is such a good thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a whole burrata. I mean, that is just not going to happen for me. It's basically mozzarella injected with cream.
Mm, yes, it is.
And actually, I don't really like it because I don't like milk or cream. So like you, the taste of milk. I used to go and stay with people when I was a child.
Give you milk.
Came for sleepovers, and their mothers would just produce this last month. I'd be like retching as I had to drink glasses of milk. So gross. But give your teeth apparently as well.
Yeah.
It protects your teeth from eroding the effect of plaque acid. Another good reason to eat cheese after meals. So apparently cheese should be eaten before pudding, not after. Do you know that?
Yes. Cheese course, then dessert.
I've always thought it was the other way around. Red blood cell formation as well. One glass of semi-skimmed milk contains vitamin B to help red blood cell formation reduce tiredness and a normal immune system function. 40% of your recommended iodine intake, helping balance it, your thyroid and normal cognitive function. Dairy's really bloody important, everyone. Drink some milk, eat some cheese.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Let's talk about beauty. Let's talk about when to start prepping for a big event. We've got it all here. This is your cheat sheet for looking your best on your big day, whether that's a wedding, Charlotte, or, you know, it could be your daughter's graduation or, you know,
anything else. Somebody else's wedding.
Anything else. Teeth. How's the teeth whitening going?
Teeth whitening's, well, I'm halfway through and I've taken quite a long hiatus at this point because they got really sensitive.
You're quite white,
they're quite white, yeah. But I'm only halfway through, so.
I think it's made such a big difference.
Thanks, yeah. Lisa's
did you do before and after?
Champion. The dentist has, so I need to get those pictures. But basically just one tooth was like somebody stabbing me in the face every time I tried to do it after having done six. You're supposed to do between 9 and 12. But that was like, what, 3 weeks ago, the last time?
Nine to 12 trays.
Trays. Like, yeah, 9 to 12 one-hour sessions with the trays. So I did six, then was experiencing a lot of pain. But I think it's been nearly a month since I did that because I tried a couple of times. It was really painful. So I think now I'm going to go back to it.
Yeah.
I was thinking this weekend.
And do you think it's more painful because you're doing the 1 hour and it's intense?
Yeah.
The dentist that I went to, his opinion was that there's no difference in terms of the result or the pain. Basically, you know, you're taking up a really large chunk of the dentist's time. And actually, no, if you do it in the chair, you are more likely to experience sensitivity because it's like the same result all in one go. So no, it should have been less sensitive, really.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I went to see Dr. Christina last weekend, who we had a VIP offer with, and had my molds fitted. So then in 2 weeks, I then get the trays. I think these ones, you wear them overnight. So I think it's about 6 hours.
That's what my husband is.
Yeah. And so I don't know whether that is slightly less intense than wearing it for an hour.
Although his hurt.
She said it will hurt. It's like it's sinking into the
enamel.
Yeah. So it will. But she said,
no pain, no gain.
She's actually said beauty is pain. So yeah,
real beauty treat. You know, exactly. If you're going for a facial and they're wafting some incense around,
yeah,
you know, it's not going to do anything. Cassie? Yeah.
Teeth? No, I don't really do anything with. Why? I'd quite like to try, but I guess it's just like planning ahead because I guess you really need to give yourself how long? A few months if you're going to an event.
But I think it can then last. I think once you've got the trays and then you've got the gels, then whenever you need a top up.
Great.
Anyway, the dentist that we interviewed said if you're going for straightening, then you may need to start 18 months before.
If in doubt,
do it. God, it's amazing. I'm so envious of all these people who've had Invisalign. For whitening, 6 to 8 weeks before any event. Tick Charlotte. And it also said don't underestimate a visit to the hygienist.
Yes, that's what she said to me as well.
It does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, she said you kind of get rid of everything on top of your teeth that's going to get in the way of it sinking in quicker.
Out of everything, I just freaking hate
the hygienist, really.
Oh, that scratching. I just can't bear it. I literally can't bear it. What else is on the list? Brow threading and waxing. My God, I mean, just don't underestimate this. I have to say that on here, they said that they'd recommend booking in 2 to 3 days before your event, obviously. But also to start prepping your brows 6 weeks before. I would say way earlier than that.
I started, mine was from like October.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend who went to Blink, who I think are brilliant. Mm. And they said you need to leave them to grow now for like 2 months and come back to us and then we'll start. But it really is a process. But break it out. It's just the best. It changes your face.
I've been going to Blink once a month since November. I'm now at a really awkward stage where I've got a while to go to my next visit, but with my hair next week. So I'm like, just giving a little brush. But yeah, they really are the best. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
And I don't pluck a single hair in between.
Yeah, don't.
No, I won't.
What else? Microblading will need more prep. Dad, God, I wouldn't muck around with microblading if you're about to get married, personally. But if you are going to, you need to do it way in advance because you can look like Cleopatra. Hair, colouring cut.
Done and done.
Yeah?
Yes. Was really scared of having freshly cut hair anywhere close. So cut was 3 months before the wedding, colour was two.
How long is it to your wedding?
6 weeks.
Six weeks?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so exciting. God, you're like proper rundown.
Yeah, proper. Civil's in four soon.
One thing I would say is, and your hair stylist may say differently, is if you want to do something with your hair, don't wash it on the day of your wedding. Wash it the day before.
That is actually referenced in the piece the day before.
Oh, what else was in here? Facials.
Done. Went to Sarah Chapman this week.
Oh, did you? It was heaven.
Yeah, worth every penny. And I'm going back again end of this month.
Can you feel a difference? I mean, she is, for anyone listening that does not know who Sarah Chapman is, she's one of the best facialists in London, if not the. She also is the founder of the brand Skin Assist, which do the best sheet masks ever.
Yeah.
And lots of other great products.
I actually used one of their sheet masks a few weeks ago. And I could not believe the next morning.
Have you used one before?
No, it's the first time I used it.
I've actually never used one.
And I could not believe how different my face looked. So I then went straight into the store afterwards and have now bought the Skin Assist Overnight Facial.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, literally arrived yesterday.
Ooh, let us know what it's like. I haven't used that product.
It smells amazing.
Is it a cream, a serum?
No,
or?
It's like an oil.
That's the one I've been using. Yeah, so really I went in January for a consultation because they do like a half an hour skin consultation where they recommend products and what facials you should go for. So since January, I've been using that overnight. It is like an oil and it does smell incredible.
Yeah.
And you feel like you you've had a facial.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
My boyfriend said to me last night, you smell like a spa.
Yeah, oh. That's exactly what it smells like. And the cleanser as well. And then, yeah, a series of facials. But then also one of their big things is LED light treatment. And you can go in. You don't have to have a facial. In the Sloane Square, there's a shop downstairs. And you can just have a quick, like, 10-minute treatment. And she was like, come in the week before your wedding and do that. Like, it'll really...
Same with Skin Laundry at Liberty. That seems very, very popular. And everybody swears by that. Becky was saying that's the best she's ever had.
Yes, they do.
Really?
They?
Becky said it was the best.
Yeah.
God, the bridal prep is well and truly happening, Charlotte, isn't it? And then the final thing was Botox and fillers and those sorts of treatments.
I chickened out. I got as far as an email intro to Dr. Benji and then got scared.
Really?
I will do. I will. Just I'll worry about that in the second half of the year.
Dr. Sibthorpe said you want to go a month to 6 weeks before your big date if you're having Botox. Good thing about him if he's less is more. Mm. So actually, you know, no one wants to look like a rabbit in headlights, do they? So just go really, start really small. And fillers, I don't think I'd muck around with fillers if you're about to get married.
Not if you haven't before.
Not if you haven't before. Anyway, I'm glad to see, Charlotte, you've ticked it all off a list. No stone left unturned. On the subject of beauty, we also wrote a piece on the 10 rules for really good, polished, groomed nails. Because for me, the quickest way to look groomed is to do your nails. In fact, people listening, before we started the podcast, I was quickly doing my nails with my Fifth Avenue Red and Sesh Feet top coat. I need to get the Sesh Feet new gel effect top coat. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, I was bang on about Sesh Feet being the top coat. Like, it's literally a miracle. You can do your nails at 10 o'clock at night and go to bed and they don't smudge. And I put it on my stories. I did an empties piece. And those people were like, oh, have you tried the gel effect one, which is blue?
Oh.
And better.
Well, it's gel effect. So I think it looks probably thicker and shinier.
Yeah.
And
great.
Anyway, it's the best. God, I'm just all about the nails.
I'm terrible with nails. I just don't have the patience for it. As soon as I try, like if I'm going to a wedding or whatever, I'm like, okay, I should probably do my nails. But I just don't have the patience. I'll start and then I think, right, I've just finished. Oh, I'll just like go and like tidy up the kitchen, or I'll play with my hair, or I'll go and read something. And obviously they then go all over the place, even though I'm using Sesh Feet.
So Lou came in the other day and she had a wedding on Saturday and it was the Monday and she had like 3 nails left in ballet slippers. And I was like, but Lou, the 3 nails are pretty nice. Like,
you do a lot of washing up.
Quite a lot. We don't have a dishwasher. Right. So yes.
Maybe that's why. Anyway, other tips were file in one direction only. Yes.
Oh, I'm bad at that.
Ooh. No, you must find it one direction. Choose your nail file carefully. Always wear a base coat. Fail.
Oh, do you not always wear a base coat?
Never.
But then when you take that off...
Yellow.
Yes.
I look like Nixie now.
But also red.
Straight onto the next colour.
Red as well.
No, just yellow.
Just yellow. Okay.
I think it makes them last so much longer if you use a base coat. I actually only have a base coat on today, which is very unlike me. But I use the Nails Inc. Superfood one, which we had in this piece, and it's so good. And
as
it dries,
a base coat,
and it dries so quickly.
Hmm. Okay, good tip, Hattie.
Use it.
I need to do that. I took my nails off in the office last week after a long weekend, a lot of washing up, and they looked so yellow. And I got home, Coco was like, "Mummy, what's happened to your nails?" I was like, "I know, don't they look dreadful?" That's why I always wear nail varnish. But apparently, you don't need to let your nails breathe.
Hmm.
Do you need a base coat though? Tips for being more effective with your emails. Anyone who works in an office will know how quickly emails become the bane of your life. In fact, yesterday I had such a money day. I was like, can I just have an hour with no emails? Anyway, we asked the experts how you can manage your emails effectively, how you can clean your inbox and write emails that won't need the recipient sighing into the keyboard. Lou, how do you deal with your emails?
I would say the best tip I've ever been told was to not read the email unless you're able to reply at that moment, because otherwise...
How do you know unless you've read it?
If you haven't got time and you're not going to, then don't read it. So don't like sort of skim through everything and then leave them all unread. So if there are ones that you know are going to be more important...
Because they'll play on your mind.
Exactly. Or if you have then glanced over it and you know you need to come back to it, mark it as unread and then come back to it when you've got a proper time to review it and reply.
Do you mark things as unread and stuff?
Yeah.
I find that then I have so many starred that I'll go back on, but I know that they're going to reply again and I still keep it. I'm not very good at once I've actioned it, kind of unflagging it.
That's essential, otherwise it's
too much.
I actually quite regularly go through my starred inbox.
Yeah.
Just to double check.
I need to do that more.
And yeah, subject lines. I remember when I first started working, my boss saying to me, please will you put accurate subject lines on to your emails. So I had to put a post-it.
I was going
to
say, we're rubbish at that.
Yeah, I had to put a post-it on my computer to say, because it's so hard when you're searching through your inbox to find an email that hasn't been subject-lined.
Well, I never ever use it. In fact, someone who hasn't been working here that long said to me, she was like, I wasn't sure if it was like a company thing. Are you joking? No, I'm just in such a bloody hurry all the time. It's just one more thing I don't have time
to do. You sometimes write the email on the subject line, though.
Yes, I like to. Yeah. But I do that for you because I feel like that if you're busy, it's quite a good way.
Carry on.
Yeah. I always think it's quite helpful.
Also, it means it's going to be short and snappy.
Yeah,
to
that
the point.
Is great. Exactly. Well, one of the points was split up long sentences, avoid waffle. And actually, I loved in the piece how there were two examples. One looks like it's been written by a lawyer.
Yeah.
And the other one looks like it's been written by me. Straight to the point. Very quick. Basically, the right way this person should have written an email was, "Hi, Joe, have you managed to send off the documents to the client yet? The deadline's soon. It can't be left until the last minute. Hope you are and had a great weekend." I was just like, boom, says what it is. Yeah. It says something nice, like, "Hope you're well," or "Hey, you had a great Easter," or whatever. But it's direct and it's polite and it's friendly. It's not waffly. I mean, then they show another example, which is really long.
Can I ask a question? You know how you're hot on your emails? Like, for me, I need a clear inbox, right? So is it for that reason, or is it because you're like, shit, people might be waiting for responses?
It's both of those. Mm. I'm a bit OCD about my inbox.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm a real, if you can do something today, don't put it off till tomorrow.
Yeah.
So when I leave the office, ideally only have sort of 6 emails in my inbox. I had 2 last night. I won't be able to relax this weekend unless I can see the bottom of my inbox. Mm. So I don't star anything because I don't need to find, you know, everything is dealt with. And also because I've got so many people waiting for my approval or sign off or edits or something that I don't want to keep people waiting. Mm. I have had to train myself to come out of my emails and not look at them for periods of time because otherwise you can just tidy your box all day.
It all goes, yeah.
And I could spend a whole day answering emails and not doing anything. Yeah. So there are times, and it was my sister-in-law who's quite successful. She would say she checks her emails twice a day.
Yeah. And that was one of the pieces in it, is like, set yourself times that you do and you go into them and then you sort of go through everything and then step away from it, because otherwise you're just chasing. I hate it when I've like just got to the bottom and then a chain will have then picked up at the top and then you're like, right, this cycle's gonna begin again.
I think here it's difficult. That's why we sort of can't have too much flexi working from home. You know, there's such a machine and everyone's a cog in that wheel.
There's no world in which I could check my email twice a day.
No. However, you know, we could all get up. We do all work. Well, we now work in 2 offices, but, you know, people could get up or pick up the phone. Quite often I'm like, no, just get up and talk to that person. That saves a chain of 6 emails. There was a good tip in here which I liked, was arranging meetings via emails. And I have this with friends as well, and I was emailing a girlfriend and I'd read this earlier in the day. And it said, don't send an email saying, can I pop in for coffee? I want to pick your brains or something. She was like, yeah, sure. And quite often you then go back and say, let me know when's good.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, go back with a date. I went back with a date. She could do it. Boom, done. Mm. Like, you can go, oh, yeah, let's meet. Yeah, when's good for you? Mm-hmm. Well, let me know. I could do after work or before. You know, say it all in one email. Yeah. Which I thought was good. What else did it say? Called it with exclamation marks. I'm terrible with exclamation marks.
Yeah. I use them quite a lot. I'm always really scared of coming across cold and unfriendly in emails.
Me too.
So that's why I use them, to show that I'm like,
down.
Chill. Yeah.
Agreed.
But we're also not lawyers. There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
True. What other tips were? Strike a balance between friendly and professional. I agree.
There's a PR at the moment who keeps emailing saying, hi darling.
Oh, yeah.
We've never met.
That's even worse. Yeah. Hi, my love.
Yeah, no, it's not okay. No. Unless we've met.
Also, I think you have to think about that email, and will that email then be passed on to other people? And you know, sometimes you've been forwarded on an email, you're suddenly looped in and you go back on a chain and it just looks so unprofessional. So I just think whenever you're sending a work email, always think about the place it's being sent.
Yeah. You also never know who's on BCC.
Exactly.
So always behave yourself on email.
Yes. And don't reply all. I got a press release from someone and she had stupidly CC'd about 300 journalists saying, does anyone want a bottle of raspberry gin? It's a new flavour. Anyway, all these people replying, going, God. Oh, yes, please, I'd love one. Can you put-? I was like, A, the rest of you, can you not see what you're doing?
Yeah.
And B, don't CC a million people. We're in this such a CCing culture, aren't
we? Also, another bugbear I have is people who don't check the name of who sent the email and then spell it incorrectly.
Oh, my name is not Georgia.
No, and also, if you're not sure which is surname or first name, that's another one that I've seen and I think it's terrible. Mm. So reread who has sent you that email.
Yeah.
And make sure you spell it correctly, because I think it's very rude.
Mm. And if you're cross, just write it and then leave it. Mm. Sometimes you just need to write it, you know, when you send it. Hattie, how do you manage yours?
I mean, I used to be really, really good. And I think here, because everything's so fast-paced and we're always emailing each other, I tend to just file the ones that I know I need to keep. So all my files are super, super organised, but then the rest of my inbox is just...
Does it go on and on?
Yeah, forever.
Oh, that gives me a bit of anxiety.
So you literally delete your every email?
Yeah.
What if you need to find something one day?
I file or I delete.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Or archive.
I see. No, I have 20,000 emails in my inbox.
Oh, my God.
They're all not read, but they're there if I need to find stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I archive a lot.
No, I don't file or anything.
And then put things in files. So if it's like something that might need to be picked up again, but doesn't need to go into a folder, I'll just archive it and I can search it.
Gosh, anxiety even thinking about your emails. Charlotte, we need to wrap this up so you can get back to it and clear some of these emails. But before we do, let's talk about fashion. Let's talk about the most stylish denim on the high street, Q Primark. Can I just say that I was so blown away by what we achieved for that shoot. I had very little to do with it. And it was just so cool. And it just goes to show that if you've got a good eye, you can shop anywhere. And that's why I started Sherlock, because I used to go into stores and people would say to me, oh, I really love that top. Where did you get it? And I'd go, it's from Henny's, as we used to call it back then. And they'd be like, oh my God, I'd never find things like that. It was a really good curation edit of products. And their denim's really freaking great, isn't it?
It is really good. Like, we went into store to pick the product and we pulled out the key denim pieces and we were all like, this is actually really, really good. And we weren't sure at the beginning whether we should do sort of full outfits and how to style it. And actually, we were like, this is a denim lookbook. Let's put the main focus on denim.
And also, the denim was good enough for us to do that with. Like, you know, you never know if we're going into work with a brand for the first time. We thought we might have to use some other pieces to kind of make it look interesting. But actually, the jeans were so good and the jackets. And everything that we didn't even need to bother, really.
No, and then we had them on the rail in the office and so many other team members were like, is that Primark?
Yeah.
Everyone was so shocked and it genuinely, those pieces were amazing.
Yeah, people asked me if this was like a Zara haul we were doing.
Yeah.
Like, no, no. It's, genuinely really good.
For me, it was the acid wash pieces that stood out the most. There was some kind of
Polly's jeans.
Mum style, Isabel Marant inspired, shall we say, acid wash jeans and a great denim jacket with the kind of military
That was really cool
and it was really awesome. I think the key is to go to, you know, a really, really big store and go at sort of like you did a Topshop 9:30 on Tuesday morning.
But that's what we did for Primark. It was a dream. We were the only people there. It was great.
It looked fab and we were not told to say that, so well done everyone that was part of that. And, you know, go and check it out because I think you'll be pretty blown away at what you can get at Primark when it comes to denim. On the subject of high street, we've also got to work your Topshop unboxing, which went live on the site last Friday. And I just loved it. Thank you to the Soho Hotel. Oh my God, that place is a dream.
It's amazing.
I just set out to move house and I was like, oh my God, I want it to look like that.
It was so exciting filming it there and like walking in and there's the most amazing views all throughout London. Gorgeous roof terrace. And it was just such a treat, wasn't it? Just like, I love being in hotels so much.
And having, we had this fab dressing room space to steam our clothes and get changed. And it was, it was a luxury. It was really lovely.
It is amazing. I mean, the soft furnishings in that place.
Yeah, so good.
Divine. The pattern fabrics on the headboards and the piping on the sofas and that. Oh, yeah. If you're looking for inspiration, go.
Every hotel in the Firmdale group, actually. Yeah,
I know. She's a woman with talent. But the product was so good. I feel like, I don't want to be mean to Topshop. We all love Topshop. But for me, I wasn't going to it as much as I sort of had been. To me, it's just like back on again.
Mm-hmm,
so many great pieces. I loved what you pulled out. Yeah. I think it's really strong at the moment.
We were genuinely so excited about both of our edits. And I had a bit of a nightmare with my delivery, so it didn't arrive in time. So I then had to go into store, as you said, to pick things out. And I found new things that hadn't already been there. And I was like, oh, can I put these in? Yeah. This amazing tuxedo suit, gorgeous, like, broadery anglaise pieces. Yeah, we were both loved it, didn't we?
It was also
you in that white boiler suit, Charlotte.
It's cool, right?
I don't really like boiler suit, but I was like, oh, I could wear that. That was amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a really good piece. The
was it too bulky, was
no,
it?
No, it wasn't. And also, I just rate their denim so much. I've been living, oh God, I can't even talk about these straight leg jeans again because I feel like I bang on about them all the time. But
these are new ones.
No, not the editor, the straight. So the editor and the new ones, but they're slightly more high waist.
Yeah.
And no, I'd like the raw hem straights.
Yeah, which are just like my Zara ones.
Exactly, just like the Zara ones. But they're just so comfy. People ask me where they're from, like, less time today.
Lee, what was your pick of the bunch?
I genuinely came away from it as like, okay, I've got five things that I really want to buy now. As Charlotte said, their jeans were amazing, so I've got those off-white straight jeans in the cream. And that tuxedo was amazing, and I love their white dress. I'm not normally a dress girl, but it was such a good shape.
Anyway, check it out. It's a great video and very inspiring. Finally, finally, we're going to talk about designer bags, because one of the most popular questions is, if I'm going to invest in a designer bag, which one should it be? So you put together a very handy guide of all the things to consider.
I feel so strongly about this piece. Like, I really believe my own advice.
Charlotte was actually messaging while she was writing it.
I was like, this piece is so good. I've got so many good tips.
Just well done you, Charlotte.
Pat on the back. What I mean is, it's something that when you start to think about, there actually really is a lot of guidance and a lot of advice to share, because it's a lot of money if we want to buy a designer bag. When we were putting this piece together, I was saving out some of the product, and we put the Louis Vuitton Speedy in there, which is like the little bowling style bag.
Yeah, first bag I ever
Me
bought.
Too. Very lucky. Got it for a birthday, and it was £350, and it's now £950.
Wow, insane.
That is really sad.
When I worked in Paris, I got a little, and I was a stagiaire, which is an intern on my year abroad. I got a little bonus at the end, and I went and bought my Speedy.
I mean, you certainly couldn't do that now for £950. I mean, it's a great bag, but you know, it's a lot of money. So the advice is to go classic. It's so easy to get seduced by. Instagram in particular is making it so hard to kind of clear the, not the wheat from the chaff, because obviously they can still be well made and still be great, but you don't want to buy anything that's really going to have a moment and then die.
No.
So really think about what is a classic and what you're going
to
wear.
It really comes down to Saint Laurent, Celine and Hermes.
And Chanel.
I think Nueve as well.
And Chanel. Oh, I think Nueve is quite...
Do you?
Yeah, Nueve, if you were going to buy one bag, I would not buy Nueve.
That's on my hit list at the moment.
And they're amazing right now. As a Chloe bag's amazing. Yeah. As a Gucci bag's, but I wouldn't buy any. I just don't think they have that real timeless.
Yeah,
true. And also, Lou, you're lucky enough to have some other nice designer bags. If you're if you're going for one,
if you were going to invest in a designer bag, what would you go for?
It has to be a Chanel. I mean, I know they're sort of £3,000 upwards, so you know, not in the near future. But I love the quilted, just that classic. I just think it's an iconic bag, and
The 1.3.
Yeah. Really, really love it. And Saint Laurent as well, I think, great. I love the tassel on the zip of their crossbody bags. I think that's really nice detail as well.
And you know what? Those are a good price point. It's the same as the Gucci Disco. If you do want to spend sub £1,000, they're like £550, £650, and that's not horrible.
I was actually on the tube the other day with my Celine Trio, which I've had for years and years and years. And a girl came up to me and she had the Gucci Disco, and she was like, "Can I just ask you about your bag? I've been thinking about it for ages. How has it worn?" Like, the wire on her Gucci Disco had come out. She was like, "Look how bad this is. What do you think?" And I was like, "I could not recommend it enough. I've had this for 5 years. I've worn it pretty much every day."
I think the less of the moment a bag is, the better. Mm. And I mean, you mentioned Nueve, who actually Charlotte and I were talking about yesterday. They're obviously having a real moment at the moment. I mean, their raffia and leather bags are amazing. I'm not a fan of the puzzle personally, but it'll be interesting to see how they sort of settle down into their sort of resurgence.
Yeah, I completely get that.
But I think go as on of the moment. You know, I love the Chloe C. And actually, a friend of mine ordered it, and in the end, she went with the Givenchy Antigona, and she went for the slightly smaller size, which is actually so nice.
Yeah.
You know, the C was kind of so of the moment that you're going to be bored of it.
And I think really consider your purchase for a really long time. It is so much money. And often there'll be things that I love, and then a couple of months later, I'm like, actually, I'm over it now. Yeah. And I think if you then feel that way, it wasn't the bag for you. Yeah, so I think you still have to want it after all that time.
I'm with you, Hattie. I don't own a Chanel. It's something I've been thinking about for years.
Yeah.
And sort of so nearly done it and not done it. And I first looked at them, started with a one, it now starts with a three.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to feel you can love it forever.
Totally.
Okay. I also liked your final point, which was consider the smaller labels. There are some really great brands, aren't there, at the moment that are quite timeless.
Brands like Wandler, LM, Boy, again, under £1,000 for a well-made, well-crafted
Even
bag.
Like APC, they do really good bag. You know, just go for a brand that's not so well-known, that's not so hot and so talked about.
Yeah.
Like, APC do some great... really minimalist,
really good shout.
Yeah. Really good minimalist bags. Anyway, it was a very good piece, and I have to say, it was our top performing piece of the week. So well done, you. And on that note, that's all we've got time for this week. I hope you enjoyed that. If you have any feedback, then do please let us know. Let us know what you want to hear more of and what you don't. Email podcast@showlux.com, and do please rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, and we will be back soon. Bye bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.